I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 546. If you think it's inappropriate, it could have been worse.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. Weather's good. Life is good. Dogs are good.
It's good. So you good?
It's good.
I can't complain.
I got nothing negative to say this week. Check back with me next week.
Okay.
That may change.
I mean, so what you're saying is let me give you a few days, see what happens?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But like, I'm like, if this was like heat riser, like temperature gauge type thing, it's like bad, okay, good. Like, I'm at the top of the okay, so like it went from red, orange to green. Like, I'm right on the line of green, but I'm not like in the middle of green. Like, it's not all green.
Right.
Like, it's good.
Right.
Like, that's
it's all right.
It's all
right. So you're right. It's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah. That's understandable. Look, I'm trying to get to it's all right. Right now, I'm in like, what the fuck?
Da fuck? Are you in da
fuck? Da fuck. Like, I'm not all the way fuck. I'm not, I'm like just to the FU. I'm not to the CK. So I'm like, I'm leaving da fuck, but I'm still like in what the fuck? Heading to I.
Progress.
But if I get to I, and I'll let you know.
All right, let me, I'm there, so.
You know, I'm trying to get where you are. I'm trying to get where you are.
Anyway.
I'm not even drinking this podcast.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I got water.
Good, because it's pretty hot, so you need to like...
I need to stay hydrated. I'm trying to be good to myself, because you know it's... What?
You know what I can't... So here's what I can't stand, and I'm sure everybody encounters these people... Like,
oh,
New England.
No.
Like,
wait, which people?
Hold on.
Whose people?
Hold on. So, like, New England, like, our weather is bisibal. Like, one minute it's like 72 and perfect, and then there's like 12 inches of snow, and we're like, what the fuck happened? Like, our weather patterns are not really patterns, they're just fits of whimsy that the earth has, I think. But like,
yep.
But like, people in the fall will be like, "Oh man, it's like this is the nice weather. Like this is great." But I can't wait till like summer. Like I need the heat.
Look,
and then
let's be very real.
Then the snow happens, and they're like, "Fuck it, I hate winter. I can't wait for summer." And then summer comes, and they're like, "Bitch, it's too hot to function."
That's some first world problem shit. So let me be very real. Like I'm never in the winter. Like oh my god, I can't wait to summer. Like, that's just not my life or how I live.
I mean,
I'm
like
typically
that
in the winter.
That, but, like, I'm not, like, I don't need the heat. Like, if I hate to say it because, you know, global warming is a real thing. And I'm not trying to diminish that or anything, but, like.
But, I hear the but, dot, dot, dot.
But, dot, dot, dot. If, you know, if our weather was going to go to shit, if it was 72 for the rest of my life, I could deal with that.
See, this is what I tell people all the time. Like, if you hate your weather so much. Move.
Go to a place where the weather you want exists. And then
all right,
there.
If you
want to
be someplace and it be like 50 in the winter, there's California, motherfucker. Move.
It's like, get a job that will allow you to move to that location.
Okay.
And go.
Like, move.
Right.
All right? You don't got to get a job. Look, you really want out that bad? Look, In-N-Out is always hiring. So is fast food. There's retail out there. You ain't going to make a lot of money. You're going to need a shit ton of roommates. But you can move. There's the door, bitch. Goodbye. Right. Okay? Like, right. I look at Massachusetts and I'm just like, look, like, I am done with, like, brutal winters. So I am trying to find me a job so I can, say it with me now, children.
Move.
Move. okay? That's all you gotta do. Don't bitch about your situation and do nothing. See, it's those kind of people that piss me off, like, oh, woe is me, this sucks, but whatever, and I'll say the same thing tomorrow. Change your situation or change your attitude about it.
I can't stand people who complain about everything around them like they don't have the power to change their fate.
To change it! Like, come on! Like,
there are some things you can't, okay? Like, I get those things.
Look, but the thing there are some things that you can't change.
The master of. Like, right. Oh man, I keep tripping over my shoes. I wish I learned how to tie them. Fucking learn how to tie your shoes.
Okay, or get some hickeys. Get those, you know, fucking things that lace themselves in your shoes. Or so you get a 5-pack for $10. Have you found the laceless shoes yet? I mean, come on.
Like, there are options.
Flip flops are cheap. There are simple solutions to your problem. Anyway, enough about the life chat with Ninja Sista and Pandalicious. Let's talk about video games and nerdy stuff. Because okay. I say this every year, so this is me like going back and doing like exactly what we just said that we hated doing. I would love to go to SDCC.
That's what we are.
I know, like, but I own my hypocrisy.
Right.
Okay, I own it.
Okay.
When I do it, I'm like, yeah, I'm about to do it. I just did it. I did that. Okay. But seriously, one of these days, it is on my bucket list to do. I want to go to San Diego Comic-Con at least once in my life.
Okay.
And I haven't been able to do it yet, but I haven't given up on it either.
Well.
Right now, I'm focused on getting to PAX, and we'll talk about that in a little bit in depth, because I need your help.
Because, I mean, now, you know, since my sitch is a little different, maybe locale will be a little easier to obtain for Comic-Con.
We'll just have to see. Well, okay, but anyway, that's on the list. You know, that's one of the things that I would like to do once. I would like to go to a big Comic-Con at least once in my life. And while New York is closer, I would like to go out to San Diego just once.
I mean, if you're going to pay, here's the thing though, the money difference between New York and California, I don't think is that big of a difference. Like, I think the cost.
No, trying to stay in New York.
Like, hotel, like accommodations in Manhattan and food in New York versus accommodations. Like, I think the price points are, I think they're close enough in the same range or same
right,
bracket.
Really the only place where you're going to have a difference is the flight.
So you're not spending that.
And now you're really only talking like
depending on maybe
a $200 difference. So like
it's really not, it's like
it's not that big of a difference trying to go to New York, stay in New York, eat in New York and go to the Javits Center. Like,
you should
then fly from Boston.
Let you sleep on their couch.
Right.
And give you their Metro card in New York.
I got some friends in California. There are couches waiting for me. Like, I can make that happen.
Right.
I just choose to not do that because, you know, I don't want to impose on people.
And, like, I will go through your cabinets to find snacks in the middle of the night.
And I don't
want to
do that. That's rude.
And then
I do get hungry.
And then I'm back at square one. So, like, I don't want to strain our relationship over your
right, because I'll be talking nasty about you on social.
You'll be talking nasty about me. And there'll be that awkward.
And some of my friends will come to my defense. Like,
And
then I have to come back to your joint because I forgot my charger at your house. So then we have that awkward moment.
Oh, man.
Like, we just avoid all of that if I stay at an Airbnb or a hotel.
That's right.
And not your
couch. Have my space. You have your space.
You have your space. We can have space.
But anyway.
Like, that's what we do. So anyway, I've been watching a bunch of news and announcement and, in all honesty, people's reaction to said news and trailers and announcements coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, really living vicariously through some of my friends that are working in the con, as well as people that are just, you know, going as attendees. We've got some friends that are there, still in San Diego, covering it. By the time this podcast will be out, you guys, San Diego Comic-Con will be done and over with. But I wanted to talk about a couple of things that I saw and heard about, because some things I've actually been trying to avoid so that I don't spoil them for myself. So I have not watched the new Avengers trailer, the one for Infinity War. I did not watch the new Thor trailer for Ragnarok. I did, however, check out the teaser trailer that HBO brought for the next season of Westworld.
I have not watched that yet.
So I don't want to talk about that. I did love the news that it has been confirmed that Wonder Woman 2 is going to happen. I'm kind of surprised that it's taken this long after the movie has been out and frankly received some of the best praise that the DC Studios have received. And yes, I call them DC Studios. I know it's Warner and everybody, but still. That the DC camp has produced for the longest time. It kind of took me aback that it took them this many months to be like, yeah, we're going to do this again because this worked, obviously. And I'm disappointed by that. I don't want to say that I'm shocked. Like I said, I'm surprised and disappointed that between box office, critical acclaim, and everybody and their cousin being like, can't wait for the next one, walking out of the movie theater, that it took this long for the studio to be like, yeah, of course we're going to do it again. Like, why? Why does it feel like it's so hard to get a female lead superhero movie fucking supported the same way as every other superhero movie is just fucking supported?
Because the society we live in right now.
Ugh!
Like,
am I gonna hate people?
It breeds and manifests drama and strife and segregation between the classes of anything that can be categorized.
But segregation is wrong.
I know this. Like, I know.
Who doesn't know this?
Here's the thing. I think everyone.
Did everybody skip that day in history class?
No. Here's the thing. I think we all know it, but not everybody wants to live, like, no one wants to make the change to make things right. So they're like, oh, if I just acknowledge it, that's part of the battle. Well, yeah, but.
Yeah, also, but.
What are you going to do to, like, stop perpetuating the behavior? And no one wants to be like, well, I will do, like, it's not enough. The few people who are like, I will do this and do that, they're great. Then there are the people who are like, I'm going to make a horrible analogy, but here
we go. No, no, so stop. No, don't do it.
I was going
to. Don't do it.
I'm going
to
do it.
Because don't do it, because I have to pitch my GoFundMe later, and I want people to still like
well
us.
Well, then, never mind.
Hold never that thought. Put it on the site. Write it in the article. But put it over there.
That could have, like, shot you right in the foot. So I'm kind of glad you stopped me.
Nope. That's why I was like, nope. Because I know how your brain works, and I know where you were going.
It's just... People who
can... Okay, let's go back.
People who can do...
Should. And that's it.
And those that can't... Should
try.
Should, well, I mean, but then you have to.
You gotta try. And what I mean by that, exactly, and that's why I'm going to clarify, okay? Because those that can should, and those that can't should try. And what I mean is that they should try to get to a place that they can. So have those aspirations, have the drive, put in the work, put in the effort. Not all things are going to come to you because you put in the time, the work, and the effort, but nothing will come to you if you don't put in the time, the work, and the effort.
That's right. You can't... Girls who are waiting for Prince Charming, you can't wait for him to knock on your door because he's got
a Don't wait first. For Captain Save-A-Ho because he could be R. Kelly and you could get saved in a way that you won't be saved. Man, yeah, I'm going to talk about R. Kelly for a hot minute.
Really?
I know, this podcast is very, very quickly turning into the Root, but...
Do you know how many already?
I swear to God, we're going to talk about games. I didn't even get to Captain Marvel, but I'm going to. Because that's what Wonder Woman was leading into, guys. So stick through this, and we'll get there.
I've had to avoid, and I'm literally, I have a little tally mark piece of paper in my purse. Since that news dropped about R. Kelly, which, I mean, we've talked a little bit about R. Kelly on this show.
I've talked a lot about R. Kelly. I got opinions.
Over the course of our decade.
And Chris Brown.
We've had our opinions. We've talked about this.
We have.
I have literally, to date, avoided 8 conversations about R. Kelly. Because, I mean, I happen to work in a predominantly, vanilla workspace.
Mm-hmm. You are the chocolate chip in the cookie.
There were two other chocolate chips. One left, and the other one only comes in part-time. So I'm, like, the full-time chocolate chip in this cookie.
Right.
So anytime any new development happens in the culture, I become the spokesperson, which I don't get. Like, I do not speak for all of us. Like, I keep trying to tell people.
I know, but you keep getting put in that position. Like, that's what happens when you are the onlyest chocolate chip in the cookie.
Yeah.
You become the representative from the Negro delegation.
You know, and then if I misspeak because, you know, I'm my own person, I have my own views, then when someone does hear about that, I'd be like, what? And then, like, so I got it from both sides. It's dangerous.
Right.
It's a tightrope. But anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, so I have now avoided 8 conversations about this because, you know, the people who are...
Oh, I go head on into the R. Kelly conversations. Well, have an R. Kelly conversation with me.
But
have one.
The problem is this, is that I've got these people who know nothing about the history, so they're just reading, like, the one or two off sentences from these bigger pieces.
They're not going all the way back to the Aaliyah days.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh.
They only go back to the urination. And I'm like, no.
You gotta go further back. You gotta
have precedents of this behavior before that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you gotta go further back.
They're like, what? And I'm like, I'd have to explain to you. You remind me of your Jeep. I'd have to explain a little.
No, you gotta go back to Aaliyah.
I don't have enough time in the day, and I'm not being paid to tell you. So.
Right. So, see, this is when you slide. You should have cards made up. Because I think I'm going to have cards made up that just say, want to talk about R. Kelly? And then on the back, just have my Twitter handle, my email address, and my Google number.
Like.
And we could just, you hit me up, and we could talk later. Because we don't have time for this right now.
Like, I was trying to get out of work early. And, like, and I love my boss. Like, my boss is really awesome. And she's generally very informative, but she's like, I'm sure I'm not the only one to have asked you this.
But
And I'm like, okay, boss.
No, you can't touch my hair. See,
no,
and then just
no,
keep walking.
No, that's
and then
not
just
even,
keep walking.
That's not even it. But she was just like, you know, everyone around lunch was like kind of whispering about him. Like, yeah. She's like, there's a lot more nuance to this than what, I'm like, yes.
I'm so sorry I brought this up.
He be a bad man for a long time. Bitches love R. Kelly. And I left it like that. That's what I
no.
said.
No. Thoughts love R. Kelly.
Thoughts
let's
love,
move on.
Thoughts love R. Kelly.
Okay, let's move on. Because women don't love R. Kelly.
I said bitches, not women.
I'm just saying. It's not even bitches. That's wrong to say about bitches. Thoughts love R. Kelly. Let's move on.
Okay.
So... Wonder Woman got me, you know, a little heated, but they are doing too, so I'm gonna be excited for what's to come, and hopefully they won't mess it up. And then right on the heels of hearing that news, I heard about the panel that Marvel did, where they talked a little bit about Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Made it official that Brie Larson was gonna be Captain Marvel.
Yay.
Which I think is great.
We were talking
I think
about
that
last
Brie.
Week.
Yep, I think that Brie will do a really fantastic job. The movie's not coming out till 2019, so obviously they didn't have, like, a trailer or, like, any footage of Brie as Captain Marvel. But they showed off a bunch of concept art, which really looked fantastic for what they want to do with the movie, which makes me very happy. They are keeping it sounds like, from the description of the movie, very close to... what has happened in the comics that also, you know, brings me a lot of joy. So I was excited to hear about that because I love Captain Marvel as a character. I think Captain Marvel there's so much there in the comic book history that is just perfect to bring to a movie to make a feature-length film about. Because there's a lot of conflict and sadness and also joy too, but Captain Marvel's got like a lot going on and a lot that happens and then a lot that happens to Captain Marvel.
Right.
So, you know, I'm excited for what could possibly be and bringing in Brie, who I know can do action and can do serious.
Well, I mean, I know that
emotional,
that they
dramatic.
They didn't have anything to show, like, about, like, with her doing anything for it yet, because I'm sure at this point they're getting her to the trainer so that she can build up the endurance to start, you know, doing all of that. So, like, I bet she's been in training all this time to build up that tone.
Yeah, she wasn't even able to be at the announcement. She was, like, chiming in and jiving with people on Twitter. And it was so cute because she posted this message. I saw it in some article that I was reading. I think it was, like, a Vanity Fair article or something, where Twitter let her know that she was getting so many notifications that they could help her weed through everything and put on some filters. And she was like, guys, evidently something's going on right now and my Twitter's blowing up. And Twitter tried to step in and help. But don't worry, I told them no. So yeah. I thought it was so cute that, like, she is in for the fandom and to be engaged with people. She's not filtering stuff out. She's... I've always gotten the feeling from, like, some of the interviews that I've seen Brie do and things like that, that she is a very genuine person and a genuine actor. And I think that that is something that you need in order to be a successful, at least in my mind, a successful Captain Marvel. So I'm very, very happy with the casting. I'm excited to see what is going to happen with the movie. I'm sure that Brie is already starting her workout regime and all that kind of stuff because she does need to get a little buff.
I mean,
not a lot.
She's gonna need to be able to look like she could take hits and that she can dole out hits.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what's gonna happen there. I did take a look at the panel that the Archer team did. Have you heard about new Archer, the new...
I stopped before Vice.
Really?
Yeah.
So, here's the thing. Like, I will say that, like, Vice, you can skip over. Dreamland was actually good. So, Dreamland was, like, the last season that they did.
Okay.
This current season that just ended. It was actually good, I thought. It very much felt more like original Archer, like, the first two seasons. But basically, it was a noir, and that's why I think you'd like it. So it was set in, like, this whole thing where Archer is a PI, and he's trying to find the person that killed his partner, who was Woodson. So that's how they dealt with the death of the guy that did the voice acting for him.
Oh, that he was. That's
yeah. Nice. So, like, you start off with that, and it's all in a noir-y thing, and so he's trying to track down, like, what happened, and so working with through crooked cops and heiresses that, you know, have more money than sense, Miss Vandertunt. It was good. It really was, and it was just so over the top and funny in places. Again, for me, Dreamland felt like seasons 1 and 2 of Archer, and so as a takeover, all the things that Vice didn't do, this did. So I think they learned, basically. For the new go-round, basically, it's kind of like Dead Island, and one of the lead writers, I think it was a writer, it might have been one of the co-creators, I can't remember his name right now, I might have been having an adult beverage or two while I was catching up on the STC. Shush now, or five, don't judge. They were talking about how, you know, because Archer's getting close to its end, I think next season, the season after this one is like the last one that they're doing. He was like, we just decided, like, as a group with all of the wonderful people here on the panel and everybody involved in creating it, that we just wanted to have fun with this season. So we thought, okay, what's like the weirdest and most, like, over the top way that we could have fun? And they were like, we put everybody on an island and basically, you know, do like a last man standing kind of thing. And it just kind of evolved from there. So basically, everybody's going to be stuck on this island. The goal is to get off the island, obviously in one piece. But everyone that's there has been kind of marooned there. So, like, Vandertunt had, like, married this wealthy, wealthy guy and was going to try to take him for everything that he had to just make her wealth, like, even more crazy. But he discovered what she was up to and, like, marooned her on the island. Guy who typically plays Krieger is going to be a talking parrot that season. Okay. And it was like he just found out that he was going to be a parrot. So, like, they went down the line and explained, like, who everybody was going to be. And obviously Archer was going to be Archer, but, you know, stuck on the island. And I just thought, you know, this is so much fun. Lana's like Lana, Lala, Kulala, Lali. Like, so Aisha Tyler's like laughing and she's like, did you say that last part right? And he's like, it was close enough. And it's obvious that, you know, everybody that is in that show on that panel really enjoys it. And I find that when you give actors, especially those who are comedic in nature, you kind of take the reins off them and let them be creative and have a little fun and play around, you end up getting something that is 10 times better than anything you could have written for them to deliver to begin with. So I'm interested in seeing what happens with Archer in that next season on the island, because there's just a lot of things that you get to do and, like, don't do. Especially when, like, everyone starts thinking that maybe they're going to die and knock it off. There's all kinds of things that are going on. And, like, they made a point of pointing out that Pam is going to be Archer's partner and sidekick this go-round and is 100% all woman. So I'm like, okay, so there's obviously going to be some kind of running bit where, like, everybody thinks that Pam's a man and Pam's going to be trying to prove that Pam is not a man.
Yeah,
it's possible that maybe Pam is a man. I don't know, but I'm all for it. Any way you slice that, just give me more poovy. That's all I need. So I'm excited to see where it goes. Like I said, I did not watch the Avengers new trailer for Infinity War, partly because I couldn't find a really good, not talked over or overlaid version of it. And two, ultimately, I really want to enjoy the Marvel movies that I go to, and I feel like the trailers more and more for the movies are being cut as, like, here's the easiest summary we can give you to try and get you to come to the movie. And I don't want to see pieces from all the parts of the movie, including the end. Like, I want to be pleasantly surprised. And so I'm finding that if I skip the trailers, I enjoy the movies more. Like, I didn't watch any of the trailers for Guardians 2. And I enjoyed Guardians 2 so much more because I didn't. After I saw the movie, I went back and I watched the trailers. And if I had seen those trailers before the movie, I would have been totally disappointed in the movie. Because most of, like, the big exciting parts throughout the beginning, middle, and end of the movie are what are in the trailers. And that just ruins the entire experience for me. So I skipped over those. But one trailer I did not skip over was the trailer for Westworld. Now, y'all know, Panda and I, we was a bit obsessed.
Yeah.
With HBO's Westworld.
I completely open up to that. I absolutely was. I was consumed by a passion to understand and unwrap this beautiful present that HBO had delivered onto all of us. And I was a little late to Westworld. I think you had watched the first two before I started.
Yeah, I was coming up on the third one, and I was like, we need to talk about this, so I need you to watch this.
I know you will want to call me and talk to me afterwards, which you were absolutely right about.
Because we nerd out like that. When we have a thing that we're both really into, and it lets our imaginations play, we have to talk to each other about it.
Yes, that's very true.
And that's how I know that something is really good. When I have to talk to you about it, or you have to talk to me about it.
Like, stop what you are doing. Put that Cheez-It down. Listen to,
like,
me.
Like, I love getting the text, like, you busy? I need to talk. And it ends up being about a show. As opposed to, like, look, life
have
stuff.
Have you started that yet? And then it just goes off, like that.
Right.
All the time.
And then it's, give me 2 hours. I'll get caught up.
But
just, like, you're the one who got me into Game of Thrones. Because I really wasn't watching Thrones. And it was you and Hot Mess that got me into Thrones.
And believe it or not, it was Hot Mess first, because he's like, there's just so much dick in this show. And I was like, what? What? And he's like, yeah, it's just...
I'm sorry, you meant to say boobs.
Well,
because it's HBO.
There's boobs, and then mm-hmm. there was flaccid, you know, unthreatening penises just out.
Yeah, there was a lot of unthreatening penises. Quite a few threatening ones, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fuck you,
absolutely.
Ramsay Bolton.
I mean, and then there was the one attached to the guy that literally fed people to dogs, Bolton.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I love that actor, though. You know, big props to actors who play horrible people and do it well. Because, boy,
but are not actually horrible people at all in any way, shape, or form.
Like, they're all sweethearts. Like, Draco, I heard the guy who played Draco, complete sweetheart. Like,
yeah.
In real life. And the guy, the boy who...
You know he's on The Flash now, right?
Yes. And Joffrey, Like, sweetest guy. I'm like, and I feel like you kind of have to, because, you know, if you're going to be playing a character who rapes people and does horrible things to your wife's dad.
Like, have him beheaded in front of you.
Yeah, like, and then be like,
you because know, poor- you can. Now, I'm sure that part of that was the inbreeding that made him insane like that.
Probably. But like, I'm sure, like, once he was like, I'll take on this role, and then he, like, did research or he read the books, I'm sure he was like, great, people are really going to hate me. I better start donating to a whole lot of charities.
That's it. You gotta go to some that's why you gotta kitchens. Do your research before you sign on the line. You like, before you say yes, like, do
work ahead of time so they're like,
you know, like, lay that foundation.
I'm not Joffrey. Look, I donate to the NAACP.
Like, I like everybody.
I love Please everyone. Chill. Like, I'm part of the ACLU.
Like, I donated to Planned Parenthood, like, so much money. Like, I gave them, like, $250,000 just this week.
So, but, like,
please don't be hating.
Actors who play such horrible people and, like, give us those characters that we love to hate, but are obviously decent human beings.
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, big up to actors in general. You know, it's the entertainment that takes you away from the craziness that is your regular life and lets you escape for a bit. So anyway, anyhow, continuing on, like I said, trailer for Westworld. Now, what was most interesting to me about this was I didn't really expect HBO to do that because, you know, we're still a whole year away from the next season of Westworld. Because
enough breadcrumbs, our mouths will just continuously salivate.
Well, I think it wasn't until, like, the third or second episode from, like, the end of the season that HBO renewed it for another year. And so, you know, they had, until they have the notice of renewal, they can't start really working on story or shooting principal photography or anything like that. HBO took a little while to approve it. And I think it's because when you look at the quality of how Westworld looks, it's not cheap really to do, but they need to do it. So the trailer is very interesting. If you're not familiar with Westworld, I highly recommend if you have an HBO account or if you have, you know, cable TV and you have the ability to get HBO, to definitely check it out. I think you can even do like a 2-week trial or like a 7-day trial of the HBO Now service on your mobile device, so you don't even have to have HBO on your cable provider. And trust me, if you're dedicated, you can watch the entire season of Westworld after work in under 7 days. So do that. Give it a shot. I highly recommend it because it is a fantastic mesh of intrigue, of thriller, of whodunit throughout multiple stories with a little bit of morality issues as well. That I think sparked some really great conversations. So Westworld is basically set in a not-so-distant future where folks who are so entitled because so much of everything that they need is taken care of for them, probably by robots and other androids, that as a escape, they go to these theme parks where they can interact pretty much in any way that they see fit without consequence with androids. So basically robots that mimic humans in emotion, look, feel, all that kind of stuff. It's only when something malfunctions or is basically shot, because Westworld is a theme park that is set in the Wild Wild West.
Fuck too hard, set on fire.
Yeah.
All those hazards.
That you can tell the difference, really, between a host, as they're called, in the park, and a human. And as you go through the series, you realize that that line of
humanity,
being aware of self,
is completely blurred.
Is thinner than really anybody thinks. Not so much blurred, but thinner than anybody thinks, and in times, undetectable.
Yeah.
Or just not there. So it's a very interesting series. When it ended, I was ready right then and there for the next season. And so HBO was like, yep, we are going to do another season, and it's going to take us like a year, so check for that shit at 2019. And we were like, ah, guys, that's more than a year. It's more than a year. They're like, don't worry, we got Thrones for you. It'll be fine.
You'll have something to keep you satiated.
But it'll be like early 2019. You'll be fine. And I was like, I'm not fine.
Jan 1, 2019. Boom.
Like, I'm not okay, actually, HBO, you know, because I gotta wait still for Thrones, because it's not like it led me all the way into Thrones. So, what the fuck? And I'm like, don't get me wrong, I like Insecure, because Awkward Black Girl was my shit. But that ain't enough, guys. That ain't enough.
I love Insecure. I'm so glad that Awkward Black Girl really got its traction, because clearly there's a need for it.
Issa Rae is great. I have nothing against her. Anyway, I want to get through this Westworld thing, because I know you have a game to talk about, and obviously I need to talk about Destiny too. What I will say, because I don't want to give the trailer away, but what I will say is there are so many nuggets that are in this quick trailer, because it's not even, I don't even think it's like a full minute long, the trailer. But there are so many things that are in it. It's kind of ridiculous. And all I will say is just the way that Rachel Evan Wood rides the horse in this trailer makes my body ready for this next season.
I want to be her friend. Like,
she's just like so badass in mastery over this animal as she's holding a shotgun.
Like, I want to make a time machine and travel to, like, I want the time machine to be able to follow the whole track of her existences, because I imagine she's been reincarnated like 8 different times, this soul. And I just want to be friends with each evolution and track of her soul, because I feel
you like just want to be friends with each incarnation of her.
Like, she is just okay. She is such an amazing person, and she's so open, and she's so accessible to, like, her community. Like, she went to BuzzFeed, like, they did a queer prom BuzzFeed, and she was one of the speakers, and, like, she dressed up as, like, the sexiest fucking Beetlejuice, like, a tailored suit, like, it was fresh to fucking death. And she just blended in, and everyone, you know, and she's just so great, and I just want to be friends with her, because I think we'd be good friends.
So, just start a Twitter campaign and just be like, hey, I want to be your friend.
Like, I want to do 2 seconds.
But don't do it creepy.
I want to do, like, so, like, make it. I want to do, like, 7 minutes in heaven, that spoof show, where I'm literally,
oh, my,
like,
God.
Except 7 minutes. It's, like, three minutes with Rachel. And I just want to, pick her brain and just talk about miscellaneous things.
You'll, like, be like Chris Farley when he was doing the interview on SNL with Paul McCartney, where he's just like, do you remember that time when you were in the Beatles?
Right? Like, no.
That was awesome.
I would just love to do, like, 3-minute segments where, like, I asked her something bizarre. I recalled a weird story or some weird factoid about, like,
Just end it with just like, I just want to be a friend. Can we be friends? Yeah. Can we go get mimosas right now?
Like, I feel like her brain and her essence has the potential to solve world peace. And there, I just said it. Like, I think she is the cure to humanity's problem.
Okay, and that's how you feel.
That's moving how right I feel. Along.
You know, there are also all kinds of other awesome stuff that came out at San Diego Comic-Con. What I will say is, looking at some of the galleries of the cosplay that was going on at SDCC, y'all really, really took your game to the next level. Like, I saw some people that made Autobot and Decepticon costumes that actually transformed.
Oh, that's fucking
so cool. They went from standing, like, into car form. That is some next level thinking and dedication. I saw a lot of Overwatch cosplay that did my heart good, both traditional costumes and then some of the seasonal ones. Some really fantastic divas out there, I gotta say. And a couple of fantastic Mercies with working wings, which was awesome. I saw one woman who actually had wings that lit up.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
The gold underneath, yeah. Like, I really tip my hat for, you know, anybody who goes into their details that heavy on their costume. And I'm not going to get into the debate over whether you make your costume or buy your costume, because I don't care. Somebody made that costume. But you make it the character when you wear it and how you wear it and how you deliver it. So I don't care if you make your costume or you buy your costume or you work with somebody to get a costume made. It's yours and you rock it and you rock it well. I saw some really, really fantastic, like, made-up characters, meshing characters together. I saw a lot of different Star Wars meshes, but my favorite was, like, there was, I would almost say, like, a squadron of General Organas.
Yeah.
Of all different ages, which was so... Oh, it just filled my soul to see all different shades of colors representing for the general, all different kinds of age groups. I'm talking, you know, people who were in there. I saw one woman who had to have been at least in her 80s. So, you know, older than Carrie, down to, you know, someone that was obviously in their, you know, early 20s because everything was just toit and pert. On the young spectrum, choosing to be General Organa and not Slave Leia, which a lot of people do. And hey, if you got the body to pull it off, like, do it to it. Like, I ain't knocking it. But it was just so refreshing to see so many people across so many gamuts have that character mean as much to them as it did to me to honor Carrie Fisher by showing up as General Organa at SDCC. Like, that was just so heartwarming and soul-filling. I just thank you guys so much for doing that and always bringing your A-game. I think, you know, there's so many great things going on in the cosplay community right now with acceptance across the board. I'm loving the cosplay stuff. You guys are making some amazing cosplay characters. You know, I saw some Beetlejuices in a couple of the galleries I was looking at. I saw some female Poe Damerons, and I saw some amazing, I mean, just absolutely amazing anime characters. There was some great Kill la Kill, and even a Kamiga Kill. And it took me a hot second to recognize them when I was looking at the characters showing up in SDCC as well. So, cosplay community, keep doing what you're doing. I love it. I respect it. Oh, man. You guys warm my heart and filleth my soul when I need it. And that's why I'm at the what the foo and not what the fuck stage in how my week is going. Because the cosplay galleries from SDCC that I've been seeing across the board in Gadget, Nerdist, IGN have really been fantastic. So thank you all for that. So that's all I'm going to talk about for right now at SDCC. There's a bunch of comic things I could get into, but that's going to be for a later date and probably really going to end up on the website and not really in a podcast. But I got to talk about a game. And before I do, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let you talk, Panda, because I've been talking this whole episode. And yeah, I know you've actually been playing the game.
That's kind of how our dynamic works anyway, so it's okay.
I don't talk all the time.
Like, 60% of the time, you talk all the time.
60% of the time, I talk 100% of the time.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so quickly before I talk about Galgun Double Peace, which is the game I want to talk about briefly, did you see the news about Michelle Pfeiffer coming into the Marvel Universe?
Yes, I did.
Like,
I ain't mad at it.
Me neither. Yay for you, Michelle. I'm ready. I'm ready for you to fucking be the Wasp and, like, kick ass and take names in the prequel.
Look, like, she can do it. Like, here's the thing. Like, I have issues with the second Burton Batman movie. My problem was never Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, because I loved the way that she vamped it up. And she had the right amount of physicality to Catwoman that you should see. Okay, she did a great Selina Kyle. My problem with that movie was always that they threw too many villains. And so they didn't stick with just the one and their story and how they became enthralled with the Batman. There was just way too many places for me to look and way too much time not spent on really getting into the character and understanding their motivation, because you have Penguin and Catwoman both gunning at the same time and somehow pairing up, but you don't really understand how or why they connect with each other, and it didn't make sense. And then they just kept repeating that same mistake by throwing two villains every time into the movies and just going in the wrong direction. But my problem was never, ever with her Catwoman. I just wanted the movie to just be Catwoman and Batman and not Penguin, Catwoman, Batman.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, she get the liver.
So, like, I'm just really, like, I like the fact that, I mean, granted, this is not, you know, the previous Batman movies, while obviously DC are not, when we think DC movies, we don't think about the previous Batmans. We're really looking at the current Batmans now. But I think I'm excited for the fact that we're seeing somebody cross over the universes, and even though they're crossing, they're not on the same side, because, you know, Catwoman, I never really considered Catwoman like a villain. I always kind of thought she was like a gray, Byronic hero in a sense, because yeah, she was out for her own gains, but like, it's never like she maliciously went after to hurt innocents. It was always something that she wanted, because she was a burglar. So like, it was never about, you know, defeating Batman and being the top dog and running Gotham City. It was always something smaller for her in the scheme of, you know, world domination. But I like the fact that she's gone from, we're going to see her from a villain's perspective, and now we're going to see her as obviously a hero. So like, I think this is a great way to be able to play between both universes if you want to be in those movies. Like, clearly you can't be on both sides, like the side of good or the side of the bad on in both things. I think that'd be way too easy. So kudos to you, Michelle. So moving right along. So Gal Gun Doubles is a rail shooter that I am currently playing on Steam. I think you can also
wait. Can you say that name one more time? Because I didn't quite catch it.
Gal Gun Double Peace.
Double Peace.
So it is the second game in the Gal Gun franchise. America did not get the first version. We did not get
Gal Gun. Why not?
Well, I mean, I have to tell you what the game's about first, and maybe that might allude to you why not.
Oh, Lord, let me get the popcorn.
Hey, main character, who we don't ever really get to see, who is probably baseline attractive. You know, you don't really care about people. You don't really care about school. But, like, chicks are kind of hot. You could see yourself dating a chick. Well, what if I told you in Gal Gun, the original game, you are this no-name guy who they then throw a random name on, who is not popular, but not popular, and all of a sudden, in the course of the day, has to find his true love by the end of it, or he will have no love in his life whatsoever. So literally, in Gal Gun 1, you play the protagonist who has been shot by a Cupid, a female Cupid, and she's shot him with this love arrow. But the love arrow had a little too much love power in it. So it literally causes all females...
Never have too much love power,
Wait, my sister, wait. But there's so much love energy in this one shot that all females within... I don't even know how big of the radius is, but literally every girl from your school, including faculty and, like, staff, all want your manges. They want you all the time. And you have to shoot... Yeah, and you have to shoot them with your girl gun to give them euphoria so that they will tire themselves out. And I'm using air quotes here if you haven't figured it out. You send them into euphoria to tire them out.
Right.
So they can stop pursuing you. So very much like a rail shooter.
Okay, so I understand why we didn't get the first one.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, you can't just shoot them willy-nilly. You have to shoot them in their sensitive areas to get more points in, because remember, this is a rail shooter.
You did not just say that.
Yeah. So in Gal Gun 2, the premise is the same. You are, I think it's...
And this is a rail shooter?
This is a rail shooter. And you are the protagonist, Hodai Kodoki. And, like, you had these two childhood friends that were sisters, Shinobu
and
her little sister, Maya. And, like... You were really little, and, like, you were never sure, like, you knew one of them was gonna potentially be your girlfriend, but you were never really sure which one, and then the
younger... Why is it always sisters?
I know, right? Why? I know. In the circumstance of the story, the younger sister eventually has to go back to her main house for family reasons, so she...
Like, seriously, I'm gonna stop you for, like, a hot second, but seriously, like, has there ever been a point in our lives that we even remotely liked the same dude?
No.
I'm gonna shut up. Continue.
So anyway, like, it never happened. Thank God it never happened to us, because that could have been brutal. But anyway.
Ooh, Jesus.
Anyway, so So Maya, the younger sister, has to go home for family reasons. And when that happens, the older sister, Shinobu, kind of stops talking to you. One day, there's a student, Cupid, who is doing a makeup exam because something happened where she couldn't be there for her final exam to become, like, an elite Cupid, to be able to go on her own missions and whatever, or whatever. So she has been tasked to find, like, the slummiest, not popular guy at this particular school, hit him with a love arrow, and help him find love. So she's like, and I think the angel's name in Galgun 2 is Ikoro. So, like, she finds you, the protagonist, and, like, she's like, okay, great. I find him. I'm going to shoot him with my love arrow. I'll help him find love, and I'll get an A on this test, and then I'll be an elite angel. It's going to be great. And the day that she comes to shoot you, there's also a devil hanging around the school, and it looks like the devil is eyeing you, too. So Eriko, in a nervousness, sets her arrow, and she sets it to full power, which is the equivalent to, I think, instead of one arrow, it's, like, 32 arrows. So this is love overdose that you get hit with. This is worse than the arrow that hit the original protagonist from the first game. So, like, I think in the first game, you had the course of a week to get to your potential love interest and confess your love to her. But in this game, you have until the sun sets.
So, like, that's an accelerated calendar.
It is.
You got everything female or with ovaries throwing itself at you.
Literally everything. So you get hit with this superpower loved arrow. And at first your character's kind of like, it doesn't sound that bad if I don't. And she's like, no, you don't understand. Like, all your love potential is now exuding out of you. So if we don't get you to confess to your true love, so you can't just find some thought on the street and be like, I love you, and live out your life. It has to be your true love. Because if we don't find her and you don't confess and we don't get you linked up, everything in the world will stop loving you. So, like, people, animals, technology, like, nothing will work for you ever in your life. Like, this is like, stakes are down. We can't, like, shit is real. We can't fuck this up. Not to mention, if she fails this, then she won't be able to become an elite Cupid. So, like, clearly, it is in her best interest that we figure this out for this character. So yes, all these girls are all madly in love with you. They run up to you. Some of them run up to you and, like, try to hand you love notes. Some of them, from, like, high distances, scream, like, words of affection at you, which then you have to shoot the kanji that is floating at you, because all this does damage to you. And while that is all going on, there are other elements, because you've got the devil character. She's infecting all these girls who are already kind of lusting after you, but now they're all kind of weirdly, kind of yandere-y about you, because they want to torture you because they love you so much. So, like, literally they're like, I can't wait to tie you down and really show you how I feel.
Notice me.
Like, it's, yeah, exactly. And, like, they're all coming at you at all angles. And, you know, you've been given, you know, this gal gun that allows you to shoot your doki doki bombs at them, which is doki doki.
Doki doki bomb.
Yeah, like, some of the names for stuff in this is, like, pretty. So, yes, you need to shoot them with your doki doki love arrow, like, to give them euphoria. So, and when you do that, sometimes you could actually enter into doki doki mode, where you're in this weird energy field with just the girl in question, and then you have to rub her in her areas that she likes. And, like, when you roll over her head, there might be like a red heart, and she really likes that. Or if you, like, touch, like, her leg, it's like might be like a broken purple heart, so she doesn't like that. And you have a certain time period where you have to stimulate the lady to get her to release another doki doki bomb that keeps all the other girls off of you. So, like, essentially, and I mean, I'm just gonna be real legit with everybody right here, you're literally giving all the girls in your school, even teachers, you're giving them orgasms so that they are just too tired to fight you. So you go to the one girl that you do want, who, mind you have to choose between the sisters, at least in your first playthrough. You can get other routes in the game, but you got to get through the first base one before you potentially find out who else may actually like you. Girls who actually really like you or really hate you are not affected by this giant the testosterone or, like, the hormone that's, like, making them all crazy, because they have genuine interest or disinterest in you. And of course, the two sisters happen to be, oh, I don't know, demon hunters who saw the demon hanging around the school that day.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So, like, they're trying to get rid of this demon that they randomly see, and then they find out that you can see her, and the only reason why is because you got hit with that super potent love arrow, but they can't see the angel who's helping you out. So she's like, they're not, lusting over you, so they must have genuine feelings. So we need to work with these two sisters. So you have to choose right off the bat which sister you're going to pursue. And obviously by choosing one, you neglect the other. And then that one isn't that happy with you. I'm sure there's a twist in there somewhere. I'm not that far in the game yet. Like, it's really kind of cute. I would honestly say, in terms of the shooter, I definitely think the shooter is really good. The mechanic is fairly good. I think, however, in the Steam version, that I wish they had put in a mod that allowed you to actually translate, like, when they're yelling at you and the kanjis are coming. Like, I wish I knew what they were yelling at me. And when the characters are
So you don't
know? No, you just see the kanji. It's not
fully translated?
No. So, like, you see all the kanji, and you know it's probably something like, I like you, like, you know it's something to that effect, but you don't know exactly what it is. Granted, my husband took Japanese, so he's like, that's not what they're saying. But I'm like, I don't, I don't need to know. But, you know, and then some of the conversations that they're having that don't have chat logs, you don't know what they're saying in those either. And when you're in, like, the menus, like when you're buying things that increase your stats, or you're buying more ammunition, or you're buying more of a health gauge, like any interactions with the shopkeep, she's talking to you in Japanese like you know what she's saying, but you as the, you know, you as the player don't. So, like, there's a lot of things that I think they could have tightened up in this. But it's cute. It's, you know, perverse, but not in that way that, like there are some panty shots, and there is the, that...
But it's not hentai perverse.
No. Like, so we're going after the little sister, because me and my husband are playing it together, because we like to give everybody voices, and we should make this a video. I don't know why we don't, because we crack ourselves up, like, all day, every day. But we're going after the little sister, because I am the little sister, and I was like, yeah, you should totally pursue me, because, you know, whatever. And,
dork.
Yeah, I have my methods, man. Ha. Anyway, so we are at a point where the little sister has got herself caught on a sticky trap that she thought the demon would get stuck on because she thinks the demon's naive, but she's not. But she's kind of stuck with her hands down and her legs spread, kind of like a really bad game of Twister. So, like, you have to, you know, get these little demons that are, like, trying to penetrate the sister, and you have to, like, motion control her and, like, try to pull her off of this trap.
Oh,
and
she, my gosh.
And she falls in very sexual positions, and there are several times where you can see straight up her skirt to her, you know, yellow panties. And I was like, this is too hot for moms. And I'm not a mom, and I'm like, too hot for moms. Too hot for moms. And I'm just, and like, and the whole time she's like, honey. And then she says stuff, and you don't know what she says unless you take Japanese. And I'm sure she's like, this is really sticky, and it's touching me weird. And, like, it's kind of, really kind of like that. And I'm just like, it's awkward, but I enjoy it. But I could never play this with anyone but my husband. Like, I could never go to, like, a friend's house, like, you know what we should play? Galgun. Like, that's a good bonding experience for everyone in the room. But it's cute, and I enjoy it. And, like, they could have made this really, they could have really brought up the ecchi and, like, made this really inappropriate. But it's only mildly inappropriate, especially if you're someone who has watched hentai or ecchi or any of that. So, like, if that's your bread and butter, this is super cute. I want to play through at least 4 different routes, because now I know that there's potential other routes outside of the sisters. Because very much like you said earlier, Ninja, like, you and I have never encountered this situation. I would like to talk to somebody who has, because I feel like it's not that simple. It's never like, older sister or younger sister? Like, it's never like, yeah, that one. Like, I'm sure there's more to it than that. I've never experienced it, so I don't know. So, like, if you've ever, if you and your sister have both ever liked the same guy, I'd love to talk to you about the experience, because these games make it seem like it's very common, and I don't think it is. But I'd like to talk about, I don't think it's common. I don't. It's on Steam right now. You can also get it for PlayStation 4. If you had a Vita that still works, you could play it on the Vita too. I mean, whatever. I would probably tell you probably not to play it on Steam. Because, I mean, you can change up the stick controls to better suit your playstyle for a rail shooter. I'm sure you could do that on the PlayStation 4, but on Steam, like, we spent about 30 minutes trying to figure out what would be the best way to play it, and that kind of slowed down the progress, I think, for us the first few missions we went through, because we had to find the exact right method.
But I think it'd probably be easier on the PlayStation 4. So that would be my recommendation for that. But it's cute. The animation's really cute. I like the premise. I mean, I don't know why we gotta be touching the girls all the time. And I don't know why guys aren't after you either. Because if this love bomb should, like, affect everybody. So, like, I think you should be fighting off dudes, too.
And you maybe should be, you should be equal opportunity defending yourself.
Right. So I don't know if maybe down the road, like in one of the off chapters, we're going to see like one boy who's like really into you and we find out like he's really into you. Like, I think that'd be a great twist for those out there in the LGBTQA question mark. Like, I feel like this could totally be something, like there should be an option where it's all dudes chasing after you because you happen to be, you know, a dude who likes dudes. Like, there should be that availability, I think. But otherwise, it's pretty cute. Like, I like it. It's awkward, but I like it.
All right. Well, you do you, boo-boo.
Oh, I will. Between the hours of 6 and 10.
Well, between my hours and 6 and 10 this week, I have been playing, as I promised you guys, the Destiny 2 beta. And I'm going to talk about that to close out our show this week. And I'm not going to spend too much time on it because I'll be spending much more time on it down the road. First and foremost, I'm going to tell you that after playing the beta, I have decided that I will be playing Destiny 2. I will be getting the game. I probably will not be getting a version of the game that comes with the expansions right off the bat. That I still haven't decided yet, like which bundle or not bundle, as the case may be, that I'm going to get of Destiny 2, but September 6th, I will be playing it. What convinced me really was the gameplay that I went through. What I will preface this with is, so far I have only rolled a Hunter and a Warlock in the Destiny 2 beta. I started playing it a little earlier this week. The open beta started on the 21st and ran through the weekend. I have not yet run a Titan. I have not played competitive multiplayer. I do like that in the beta, gameplay is broken down through, one, first running a PvE, so it's player versus environment, mission that you fight a big boss. That actually, the boss has 3 stages of the fight, so that kind of very much reminded me of RPGs that I've played previously. If you get them down to this so much health, and then form changes and attack pattern changes, so you have to adjust, and then you get them down to the last third of life and get the ultimate form and form changes and got to run through all that kind of stuff. I did play one strike that's available, which is a higher level strike, but I have not played any of the Crucible either on the competitive level or the non-competitive level. I do like that the game features a non-competitive level of the Crucible. It is 2-on-2 and 4-on-4 versus 3-on-3 and 6-on-6. I do think that by limiting the number of people that can play in the PvP, player versus player, version of these missions and these maps, that it does make and put more of an emphasis on either your pair or your team talking and functioning as a team, as opposed to just having a bunch of high-level people come into a map and just decimate everybody that's on the map. Because cooldown times to respawn and people being able to get to you to bring you back becomes much more important when you don't have that third or, you know, in some cases, 2 players coming back at any point in time to swing the balance of the game. So I might play some of the non-competitive co-op play, the Crucible play, but I have not done that yet. So my review and what I'm talking about right now is primarily going to be based off of just playing the PvE mission and running the strike a bunch of times with the 2 characters. If you are playing the beta, you pretty much start off with a beefed up to the hilt character. If you've played the Destiny game before, you're very familiar with how your gear loadout works. So you have common and uncommon and rare gear, as well as elite gear that you can use. When you start the demo, you start off with a bunch of rare gear. So you drop in with a bunch of purples, mm-hmm, across the board, which is nice. Everything is pretty much maxed out. So you're a level 20 with 200 light. Again, Bungie has already said that anything that you had in the previous game that's not following you, you were a different guardian at this point, so you're not bringing any of your weapons over, so sorry. That Gjallarhorn that you had that wasn't completely nerfed, you're not gonna have it. And if anyone shows up in this game, it'll probably eventually end up being nerfed. What I will say is, in running the PvE and running the strikes, I found myself very quickly, you know, like, it's right riding a bike, back up on it, remembering what all my buttons did and triggered, you know, all that mapping stayed the same. I will say, and a lot of people have already mentioned this, so much so that Bungie has already said that there many of the things that people have brought up as feedback, they've actually already addressed, because what has gone out and what is currently in the beta is about a 3-month-old build, so they've corrected some things. So one of the things that I noticed was, for the Hunter class, my Hunter actually moves very slow. Outside of using my ultimate, the Arc Staff one, that allows you to be faster and cover a lot of distance very quickly, my Hunter moves slow. Like, my Hunter jump and ran at the pace of, like, a Titan.
Oh.
And that really threw me off, and I stopped to look.
Like, they made the Hunter heavy. Because, I mean, the Titan's kind of supposed to be kind of like a tank and kind of be able to hit
right.
Take hits and damage. So he doesn't have to move quickly.
And your Hunter can't take hits and damage, but is, you know, crazy at ranged, right? Attacks. One of the things that I realized after running through the strike a few times was that when I looked at the details of the weapons, and I know that I'd mentioned this, but I guess it didn't really sit with me or hit me, or I just didn't interpret it correctly at the time. But your gear now has ratings, and one of which is mobility. So you may want to, and in my case, I needed to actually optimize my armor for mobility if I wanted to get that speed up. And what my gear had been optimized for was for protection, basically, durability. And so instead of having, like, discipline and all that kind of stuff, you had the other guys. I didn't realize or didn't even think to customize the gear or look at the gear when it was loaded on my character. So I ended up optimizing the gear instead of for defense to optimize for mobility, and that did improve some of the speed of my Hunter. So your gear really truly does affect your character now. Whereas before it was really just buffs for your light to get your light up, and, you know, figuring out that discipline would help you, you know, take more hits or not. Now it's really your strength and your mobility, and so you really do get to customize your character for how you play in a tangible way. Like, you could physically see a marked difference and stuff. But I had a great time running through the strikes. I will say that ammo drops sucked. Like, there needs to be way more ammo dropping. Like, if you're working on an enemy and it takes a bunch of heavy ammo to take them out, they should drop some heavy ammo when you do.
I agree.
And if they don't drop any ammo whatsoever, that kind of sucks. So there were a bunch of times where we were running the strike and got to the end of the mission and we're taking on the boss, and I just had to keep running around the damn level. And the only thing I could contribute was basically raising people when they died so that they could respawn, because I had no ammo. And you know me, I'm conservative with my budget, with my bullet budget.
I know you are, yep.
And I had no ammo for any of the weapons that I was carrying on me. And so, and I'd used my special. So I was relying on the shots that my teammates were taking to get people to drop ammo, and of course they would pick up ammo drops that were near them, and rightfully so, because they took out the enemy. But, like, you can't be in a situation in a game where you get to the boss and you don't have any ammo. That's bad balance.
That's very true.
But the Bungie team has already said that, like, they addressed that because they themselves, in going through QA, saw that. The same thing with the speed and the mobility thing, so, you know, I look forward to those things being balanced, but I'll tell you, like, it was fun. Like, when you ran through the PvE experience, there was an actual real story that you felt a part of, and not just blowing red mask cabal out the sky. So I will be playing the game, and you will hear me talk more and more about it as more details are released. But if you haven't had a chance to jump on the Destiny 2 beta yet, I would definitely recommend it. It's a 12 gig install on the PlayStation 4 side. I imagine it's a similar size install on the Xbox One side. And the PC beta, I think, begins this week. So if you haven't tried it, now's a good time to try it. And if you have any recommendations on which bundle you think I should get, let me know. So that's it for this week's episode of the podcast. Very quickly, before I get to the business, I just want to say that I have started a GoFundMe for raising money, basically, to get my ass to PAX Dev. I have a panel that was submitted that was approved, and so I get to be on this panel at PAX Dev. I am crazy excited about it. It's been all over 10 years, I think, now just about 10 years since I've been to the West Coast for PAX, and I really, really want to be able to speak on this panel. So I need help financially. I'm just not able to do it. So I have started a GoFundMe. The link will be in the description of this podcast on our site. We are putting that link out over and over and over and over and over again.
Oh, and over again. Don't forget and over.
And over again on Facebook, on our Facebook page, on my Twitter, on ESH's Twitter, on my personal Facebook feed. You can get to it a bunch of ways. We have at ESH.co/PAXDev. All lowercase. So you use that link and you can get right to the GoFundMe page. But like I said, we're putting that link out on social. It's all across our pages. I am looking at this point right now. We've gotten almost $300 in donations, just in it being up a couple of days. So thank you guys so much. But if you have the ability, whether it's $5 or more, if you can contribute, I got $14.50 to go. That covers my airfare and my lodgings. I don't really need to eat food, so I don't need money for food or for Ubers. I could do that, but the airfare from the East Coast and putting myself up for the week is difficult. So if you can help me get to PAX to speak on this panel and also be able to go and cover the expo for the week, I cannot tell you how much that would mean to me, because I am so excited about being on this panel. It's the first time I've been actually on a panel at a PAX. I'm just thrilled at the opportunity, and hopefully you can help me make it real. So share that link. If you can't donate, then share it around, push it through your networks, encourage other people to check it out, check out the podcast, help me get there, be part of this panel, be part of the celebration. I can't thank you enough for just helping us spread the word. And so there's that. And then the regular business, which is, if you enjoyed this podcast, make sure that you subscribe by visiting our website, electricsisterhood.com. We have links to the podcast right on the homepage. You can subscribe in iTunes if you want. Pretty much any place that they put podcasts out on the web, you can get our podcast. But definitely make sure that you bookmark our site to check out all the great articles and reviews and previews that we put out each and every day, as well as our podcast every Monday up on the site. As I mentioned, you can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, on the desktop, or through your iOS device via the podcast application by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. Our podcast is also available on Stitcher Radio. You can get us on Google Play. Pretty much wherever fine podcasts are found, you will find the Eshcast. So make sure that you subscribe, leave us a review, let us know what you like, what you don't like, and we'll address what we can, and what we can't, we'll just be like, meh. But we'll appreciate the feedback. Definitely engage with us on Twitter, on Instagram, at ESH News, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Esh. You can recommend games for us to review or animes that you would like us to check out, shows that you would love for us to go to or just at least share our opinion on. We appreciate your feedback and your thoughts. And if we cover one of those things based off of your recommendation, we'll give you a shout out here in the podcast so you can get your internet 15 seconds of fame.
Woohoo!
Speaking of fame, if you like what we do, then definitely shine a light, show some love to all of the other great content creators that are part of our team. That includes KBD over at b3crew.com, covering everything indie and just fun and funky, from J-pop and K-pop to rock and more, TV, theater, just entertainment in general, games, anime, manga, you name it. If it's cool and nerdy in any way, shape, or form, KBD and crew are covering it. So definitely make sure that you check them out over at b3crew.com and the weekly podcast, No Borders, No Race. On Wednesdays, our homie, HamsterMan2049, is streaming on Twitch, 9 Eastern. You can be part of it. Be active in chat. And he is streaming and playing everything old and new. So from SNES games and up, like, you don't know what you're going to get from week to week. Sometimes it's going to be horror. Sometimes it's going to be a puzzler. You just don't know. But definitely make sure that you hit up smashrook.com and you check out Ham's Twitch every Wednesday night, 9 Eastern. You get the link right on our Facebook page or in Smash Rook. Check out our social. We make it happen. Then, oh, I love the homie, Phil the Issues Guy.
Oh, with my God.
Issuesprogram.com. I'm telling you, if you want some of the most enjoyable TV show recap shows on YouTube that you will ever find or see, I'm telling you, you need to check out Phil's recap and review. You will laugh your ass off. You will no longer have an ass if you watch Phil's recap and review. You can call in, be part of chat, be part of the show live, but oh my God, his recaps are amazing, and you should definitely check out his Westworld recaps. Oh, mwah, they are perfection. And last but certainly not least, giving you the things that nerds crave, nerdcrave.com. Comic books, anime, manga, video games, movies, you name it. As long as it is nerdy or geeky in culture, just popular, the crew over at nerdcrave.com are reviewing it and talking about it. So make sure that you check them out. Bookmark all of our sites. Check out all of our shows. Follow us across social. Engage with us. Let us know the things that you're interested in so we can keep on this stuff. And obviously, if you can, definitely help out with the GoFundMe so I can go to PAX and be part of this panel at PAX Dev. I would love you forever and ever. Yeah, man. So as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next week, guys.
Stay fucking classy.
Titties.